up in verse 14. I told Brother Shad earlier this week he was going to go down through verse 19, and he said that he must be rubbing off on me and Brother Jeremy, because Brother Jeremy went a whole chapter last week. And here I am doing five or six verses, and I just sent back, so everybody backslides every now and then. Amen. But actually, we won't get through verse 19 today. Now that I'm finished with it, we'll only get down through verse 17. So, I guess I got right with God, right? But we'll pick up in verse 18 next time, Lord willing. Now next week, Brother Shad's preaching for 2 weeks, then Brother Pat will be preaching for 2 weeks, and then we'll be back in Britain. Now I do want to say, once we get finished with the book of Philippians, it is my desire to teach again through the doctrines of grace. I know we go through that about every year, year and a half or so, but we'll take some time and just go through that. This time I want to be more thorough than I have been in the past when I preach and teach through the doctrines of grace. So actually I'll be praying along those lines for us. But this morning we'll be looking at giving for the glory of God. Giving for the glory of God. From Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. So let's read these verses. Verse 14, Philippians 4. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Let's pray. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to examine our hearts, not just in our giving of money, but in giving of ourselves to you. In Christ's name, amen. I don't teach and preach on money very much. Very little do we preach and teach on money. For me personally, I never want someone thinking that I am a money-grubbing preacher, because I promise you, I'm not. The elders of this church, we're not here for money, none of us. We're here to simply teach and preach the gospel, teach and preach the scriptures as it is. And the church does give us some money, thankful for that. But even if the church couldn't, guess what? We'd still teach and preach the Word of God. And I guess one of the reasons I'm hesitant to teach on these things is because of the abuses today that you see by other preachers and teachers, especially those of the Word of Faith movement. And listen, they're all about money. If any of you follow the Word of Faith movement, I beg you to get out of it. It is heresy. It is straight out of hell. And I trust none of you do. But because of these abuses and the wrong teaching about it, I'm kind of hesitant. And that's not good either, is it? We should be able to stand up and preach and teach the Word of God regardless of what the world is teaching. You and I should be able to stand up and teach and preach it as it is, the Word of God. So that's what I want to do this morning, is to go through these verses and encourage you and I in our giving of our resources to the ministry. Because in essence, we're giving for the glory of God. That's why we give. That's why we should give. Mark this down, and I say this a lot. This is part of my vocabulary, but our God is what? Faithful. Our God is faithful. Most of us would rather not have afflictions in our lives. None, right? A rosy, a peachy life until the day that we die. But that's not reality. Not reality. You can look back on this past week, maybe yesterday, maybe even this morning, and say that's not reality. But everything that we go through in life is for our good, the Bible tells us, and for God's glory. If we never had any afflictions, no problems, no troubles, I have no doubt that we would find ourselves becoming complacent in our walk with the Lord. That's our nature, isn't it? And we would miss out on recognizing and seeing the faithfulness of our God. We are to praise the Lord in and through all things. This is also included in what we would call bad things. And that's in a sense what Paul is doing here in the book of Philippians. And even here in chapter 4, he's doing the same thing. So to keep this in context, let's back up a little bit and read some more verses from chapter 4. These verses, yes, we've already covered, but I think it helps us to see where Paul is coming from. As he says in verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done, but you did communicate with my affliction. So let's back up to verse 4. Notice he says, rejoice in who? The Lord. How often? Always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't y'all think Paul was doing this? Let his requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our rejoicing is in the Lord, not our circumstances. And no matter the circumstances, good or bad in our eyes, we are to think upon the Scriptures and obey the Scriptures. Look in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Again, our God's faithful. We're to look to Him, rejoice in Him, not our circumstances. And in doing this, we find ourselves being content with wherever God has us at and whatever God has us going through. Again, because our contentment is in the Lord, not in anything else. Verses 10 through 13, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. At one time they gave, but then they couldn't give anymore. Not that I speak in respect of want, where I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. No matter where Paul was, no matter where the Lord had him at, he was content in the Lord. Notice again, his contentment was in the Lord, not in where he was at. He could endure all things because of Christ who strengthens his mind. Paul would continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Paul wanted to be like Christ. To make this plain and simple, as we learned last week about Jesus in John chapter 4, Paul's sustainment was not in the earthly things. It was in Christ. It was in the Lord. Though Paul was content, and here we pick up in verse 14, understand, Paul is letting them know he is content in the Lord, content with where God has him at because he's content in the Lord. He's rejoicing in the Lord. Whether he has much or little, he is content in the Lord. And if we're not careful, we could take that as saying, Paul saying, I don't need nothing from y'all. That's not what he's saying, is it? So if we taught this wrong, or if we understood this wrong, then we would relay the wrong message. The wrong message would be that we do not need people to give to the Lord's work, because God's going to provide. When in fact, it is a blessing to give the Lord's work. Excuse me. I'm reminded of a story about a man who is in a flood. And I know y'all have heard this story. And some people came to his house in a boat. And he was on his front porch, which was elevated. And they said, come on, let's go. The water's rising. He said, no, I'm staying. He said, God's going to take care of me. God's going to deliver me. They left. Come back later. he's on this roof, and a big ship comes by, one of those yachts, and they say, come on with us. You're going to drown. He says, no, my God is going to take care of me. The water gets higher, and he's on top of his chimney. A helicopter comes in and says, sir, please come with us. You're going to die. He said, no, the Lord's going to take care of me. Well, he drowned. This, again, is not biblical, but he got to heaven and said, Lord, what happened? Why didn't you take care of me? And God said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. Amen. And, of course, we know that is a joke. That this, to clarify, that is not biblical. Okay, you're not going to go to heaven and question God about what he did. All right. But what I'm getting at is that God provides through who? People. Through people. God uses people. Matter of fact, God uses saved and lost people to provide for his church. It's amazing, isn't it? It is a blessing to give to the Lord's work. It is also needful. And it is right to give the Lord's work. I want to say verses 18 and 19 for next week. Probably the rest of it, not next week, but next time. And during those verses, I do want to look at sowing and reaping from the Bible. Amen. So, Paul writes in verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my, notice what he says, my affliction. The Philippians did right in their action. They communicated with Paul. This means to participate in something with others. To share with others in anything. Spoken of in a good sense, sharing material things with someone in need. When you give, when you put your money in these offering plates, you are investing in the ministries of this local church. You're investing in those who stand behind this pulpit and preach and teach. You're investing in those whom this local church supports. We support Brother Jose Panol in the Philippines, a worker for the Lord. Amen. And so we support Beams still yet. We love the fact that Beams is getting Bibles around the world. We love that. So anytime you give, you are investing in those ministries. Good ministries in our minds, and I also believe according to the Bible. So they here, the Philippians, communicated. They were involved with Paul and where he was at and what he was doing. Was Paul in need? Good question. Was Paul in need? And my answer is yes. Paul was in need. Now, Paul didn't say he was needy, did he? But that he was content in the Lord with much or little. It's amazing. Paul was a man of faith, wasn't he? He trusted the Lord no matter the outcome. Notice here that they communicated with Paul's afflictions. The word afflictions in this verse, excuse me, means evils by which one is pressed, afflicted, distress, calamity, persecution, tribulation. Now, Paul didn't write to them saying, oh, woe is me. They have slapped me in the face 15 times today. My teeth are hurting. My eyes are hurting. Oh, if I only had some relief from this pain. Oh, if I had some money, I could buy what I need. Paul wasn't going around saying, oh, remember the orphans. Look what they're going through. Send your money. We need it. Paul wasn't saying, plant your seed in my garden, was he? Paul would not have been a good televangelist today. Lord, help us. They gave, they communicated with Paul and his affliction. Why would they do this? We learned something this morning in Sunday school about the love of God, didn't we? Love. is not a noun. Love is a verb. It is action. It is doing something. One of the evidences of knowing that someone is truly saved is that we love the brethren, don't we? And because we love the brethren, we participate with them in life. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Listen, folks, we are involved. I'm going to walk around a little bit. Y'all don't get scared. We are involved in each other's lives. We get to know each other. How many of y'all are bad with names? I'm bad with names. Matter of fact, not just names, but faces. If I see you somewhere else and it's not here, I'm probably not going to know you, except for Brother Kevin. Can't help that. Amen. But what I'm getting at is that we grow. We begin to learn each other. We begin to learn each other's cares, each other's problems, each other's afflictions. And as we continue to grow and learn each other, listen, we become closer, don't we? Closer knit. You know, we talk all the time about how we love Brother Shad. But, and all joking aside, that we've been there with him through some of the afflictions. What does that do? That grows us. You see these people in battle, in the military, who they go through these great trials, war. A bond is there that is never broken. Well, Paul wasn't in Philippi very long, no, but there were some major afflictions. And they saw how he loved them, how he loved the Lord. So we are to rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. And as I was typing this sermon up, I thought about a family that used to attend here years ago. Good family. I know they was trying to have kids, and they was asking prayer from the church for children, and we were all praying one for another. That's why it's also good to let your prayer requests be known. I'm not saying let's have every little thing, you know, but true prayer requests, let it be known. So the church was praying. We was coming around and praying, holding each other up in prayer, begging God to give them children. And I can remember, y'all bear with me, but they were sitting right over there. And one Wednesday night, we were taking prayer requests and praise reports. And they had a praise report. They were pregnant. I'm telling you, we were some kind of excited. It was just, woo, praise God. Boy, we were rejoicing with them. And then within 2 months later, we were all weeping with them. Complications arose. They lost a child. And have never been able to get pregnant again. So we were there with them, rejoicing with them, and then we wept. Whew. I think about it today and still want to weep in a sense because the heart breaks for them, breaks with them. We come together, we serve the Lord together, we rejoice together, we weep together. So your heart goes out to people you pray, Lord, how can I help them? Obviously, we are to pray for each other all the time, right? And we are to seek opportunity to help each other. But not just with words, but with actions. Let's go to the book of 1 John. Scriptures that we know very well, chapter 3. We'll start in verse 11. First John 3:11. "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That's normal, isn't it? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Notice this, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Notice this. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Is he even saved? My little children, let us love. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, when we love, we will give. Is not our Heavenly Father and His eternal Son our best examples? We talked about John 3:16 this morning. For God so loved the world. What did He do? He gave. He gave. We should seek opportunity to meet the needs of others. Listen, not so we can post it on Facebook or some other kind of social media stuff saying, look what I gave to these people. Look what I did. I brought supplies. I did this. Oh, look how good we are. That's not why we give. We give for the honor and glory of God. We don't give to make a name for ourselves. Back in Philippians, though Paul learned to be content in whatever state God had him in, he also knows that God provides for His people, through others. Again, Paul made it clear that his trust is in the Lord. But he also made it clear that the Philippians did right in sending him a gift. Again, God provided for Paul and those with Paul through the Philippians. Isn't it exciting to know that we are being used by God? Again, we don't need to brag about any of these things. It's all for God's glory alone. But also, I want to say this. Coming up, I heard a lot about how to give, what to give, when to give. I never heard scripture about it. Well, very little scripture. I was taught a lot about 10% tithes, and that's how it had to be. I was told if you didn't give, God was going to get it anyway. He's going to get it from you somehow. I was also told you better give, but you ain't right with God. A lot of guilt trips on giving. And if you give because someone put you on a guilt trip, you're not giving from where? You're giving grudgingly. You're not giving cheerful. Yet the Bible says that God loves a what? A cheerful giver. When we give, we're to give from our hearts, not grudgingly. Whether we give in these offering plates or we give in a different way, whatever it may be, we should never take that money and wind it up so tight that we just don't want to part with it. If you don't want to part with it, you keep it. Amen. Something else I want to add this to. We should never give to get. Because then God becomes your stock market. So, okay, I'm going to give. Y'all heard it. Give $500 and God's going to bless you tenfold. Heard that? Seen a guy's license plate? What'd it say? Tenfold? Now, does God bless? Yes, He does. Does he bless tenfold? At times he does. I'm not saying he don't. Listen, but here's the thing. We don't give just to get. That's the wrong mind. That's not from the heart. That's adding up on the paper, calculating. Okay, I gave God this much. God, now, God, you owe me. Uh-oh. Back up. God owes you? No. You just stop and think about salvation for a second, and that wipes everything out, should be in our minds, of what God would owe us. He paid your sin debt? Amen. It is lustful, it is greedy to give so that we get. Never think God owes us anything. Look at verse 15 and 16. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So they sent more than once to Paul. Here in verse 15, he speaks about the beginning of the gospel. Obviously, this is not when the gospel first started, right? This speaks of Paul's missionary work. Of the gospel here means the gospel work. They're preaching the gospel, laboring the gospel, all that that entails. There's a lot there. When Paul and those with him left the region of Greece, no other church shared resources with them but the Philippians. Here's something else. Notice he says, no what? Church. No church. So the Philippians were an established church. How does the Lord's work, Lord does what the Lord wants to do, but His work is accomplished through what? The local church. None of us are rogue Christians. None of us are. In the local church, there's protection. There's also accountability in and through local church. I can remember Miss Toy and I, we were at one particular church, and I don't want to say the name of it. That's where the Lord saved my soul at. Very thankful for the Lord saving my soul, because it's a very liberal church back then, even more today. But there was a bad church split, very bad church split, that we were not part of, had no idea what was going on. Matter of fact, there was two of them within 3 months. That's how bad it was. We left there, went to another church. And we went to this other church, and I told my wife, I said, I don't ever want to join another church again. It hurt so bad seeing that church, but it just ripped my heart out. I said, I don't ever want to join another church. I said, let's just go here for a while, and let's just see what happens. And I said that to her on a Saturday night, got to church next morning, and the preacher preached on the importance of being a church member. You believe that? So we got home that night, or that night we talked about it, because we actually talk a lot, and we were talking about, well, you know, that was scriptural. We have to be part of a church, so let's go ahead and join. So we joined up. A month later, that one split. Nothing we did, okay? There's not a pattern here, I don't think, all right? And then after that, we ended up over at Ben's Ford and was blessed to be there for the time that we were there. But I learned that it is important to be a part of a church family, especially when tragedy hits. That's one of the main things I learned from being at Ben's Ford, is that when tragedy hits, they there, ain't they? Amen? They there. Why? There is a love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. See, we learn from watching others. We learn from the scriptures. A lot of work in the ministry. A lot of work. Very important to be a part of a local New Testament church. And that is a message for another time. The Philippians here are sent more than once to meet the needs of Paul and those with him. Why would the Philippians do this? I thought this was good. And I learned this term from Brother Nick Holden. He came here some time back and preached about being kingdom-minded. Why did the Philippians do what they did? They were kingdom-minded. They were not trying to hoard up all their stuff. They were not saying, hey, let me keep this. They don't need that. No, they were kingdom-minded. They're saying, Paul is preaching the gospel. Paul needs these things. Do you think God also puts it on our hearts to give when someone's in need? Isn't that amazing? And I've shared those stories with y'all, haven't I? How God provides and has provided in the past. And I have no doubt will continue to provide in the future. Why? Because that's our God. Amen. Look in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift. Now, why would he say that? Because he was what? Content in the Lord. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul never demanded a gift from them. As I mentioned earlier, he never stood in front of them asking them to give help or give money to help with the orphans or anybody else. He never put them on a guilt trip to give. He never passed the plate over and over and over again until he thought he had enough. No. He never told them to, again, plant their seed in his garden. See, in our day, our minds go straight to financial contributions, doesn't it? When we give to the church, we think about giving money. We think about writing a check, which hopefully won't bounce. And we think about investing. And that, but listen, that has not always been the case. Just in the past 100 years, I've read stories about how there would be a building behind the church. And that's where people would bring corn for the pastor, beans, peas, types of produce. Some people would bring, not just to the pastor, but for the church to hand out. Some people would bring a yearling steer. They didn't have money. They'd bring eggs. I'd like to bring some eggs. Some of those Word of Faith people, amen. I'd like to send some. That's probably not really being spiritual when I say that, but I can just picture that's wrong too, right? But back to this. We think of financial contribution, but that's not always the case. Do you think Paul needed clothes? I mean, back then, listen, the prisons back then were not like the prisons of today. The prisons of today, they have clothes that's washed on a regular basis. They get 3 square meals a day. They get to work out. They got Wi-Fi. They probably got good Wi-Fi. And we don't. But not back then. Listen, back then Paul only got what people brought him. If your family and friends didn't bring you food, you starved to death. And listen, those over the prison did not care. So Paul didn't just need financial contributions, did he? His ministry. He did everything you can think of to live. Go back to verse 14. Look what he says, that ye did communicate with me, or with my affliction. Again, this means they participated with him. They shared with him in a good way. They shared material things with someone in need. Now, I think back about when people would give corn and chickens and this. We kind of laugh about it, but listen, that's all they could give. But listen, they gave from the heart. Man, I want to give. Look, here's some extra. How many of y'all grew up poor? Raise your hand. Just a few of us. I'm not knocking y'all who didn't. Thankful that y'all didn't have to. I can remember. Listen, we ate when we got out the garden. We ate the hogs that we slaughtered. I talked to a man this week over in Bugaloosa. We talked about scalding hogs. How many of y'all ever scalded a hog? Some of y'all ain't as poor as y'all think y'all were, okay? You scald a hog, you kill the hog, you boil the water. We have a hog killing. It's an all day affair. You pour the hot water over the hog and you're scalding. What are you taking off the hog? The hair. Why are you taking the hair off the hog? Have y'all ever had cracklings? Man. Have you ever had a crackling with hair in it? They didn't scald it right, did they? But I know I'm kind of going in the wrong direction here, but listen. Let me get back here. There were no prosperity preachers back then. How's that? But notice in verse 17 that Paul wasn't concerned about getting, but that the Philippians would be blessed for giving from their hearts. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. They were kingdom-minded in giving. Paul was kingdom-minded and wanting them to be blessed for giving. That may abound means to do, make, or be more, to increase, to superabound. And this abounding would go to their account. Interesting. What kind of account? A bank account? I mean, did they have a Citizens Bank in Palestine? Hancock Bank? They must have had a Chase Bank because they're a little bigger, huh? No. Not at all. What kind of account? Where's this account at? What is this account for? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Kind of get an idea about some of this. Now remember, how are we to give? From our heart. Why are we to give? For the glory of God. I hope this helps us in our giving. Lord willing, we'll learn more next time about giving, even when you don't have much to give, from your heart. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 10. Now, understand the context here. There's division in this church at Corinth. It is a church. There's division on who they're following as far as Apollos, Paul, or Peter, or whoever. There's definite division there. So, in a sense, this verses 10 through 15 talks about the teachers and preachers, of how they teach and preach, why they teach and preach. But I think it goes further than that, and I think it incorporates everything that we do for God. Everything. All of us, whether we're teachers or preachers or not. The way we do everything, okay? Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Notice this. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Was it done for Christ, for the honor and glory of God? Or was it done out of selfless or selfish pride? How about our giving? If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Our giving, listen, from the heart for the glory of God. Or is it grudgingly? And is it for self-glory? pride, self-exaltation. Where is this account at? I believe it's in heaven. And this is for the honor and glory of God. Why do we give? Do we give because we have to? Or do we give because we want to? I'm thankful I can say, as I mentioned earlier, that even if this church could not pay anything, that we would still teach and preach the Word of God. Am I right, Brother Jeremy? We've never been here for the money. Never. And there has been times, I can remember a span of about 6 to 8 months, where the church could not afford to pay anything. What do? Keep preaching and teaching the Word. The question for all of us is, do we teach and preach without pay so we can stand up here and say that we do that without pay? Or are we doing what we're doing for the glory of God? When you give, do you give for a tax write-off? I mean, it is. You can claim it, and you should, by our laws, right? But the point I'm making is that that's not why you give. You give from your heart. You give because you love the Lord. You love the Lord's ministry. You give. We minister one with another. We give again to glorify the Lord. We minister to glorify the Lord. We labor. We endure afflictions together. We are content with where the Lord has us, all for His honor and glory. But more than your resources, more than your money, listen, what is it that we give to the Lord? It is ourselves. Day in and day out. Are you a giver for God's glory, or do you give to be seen of men?